Romans chapter 12, verse 1, verse 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for the young people that's in attendance. Thank you for each and every one of their lives, Lord. I pray that you'd minister to them, Lord, today. Pray you'd work in each and every life, Lord, the difficulties that they're dealing with, everything that they're, everything that's going on in their lives, Lord. I pray you'd come by in a special way and minister to them, Lord. I pray you'd help me, Lord, as I try to explain the passage of Scripture that you've laid on my heart. Pray that it would find a lodging place in our minds and our thinking and our hearts, Lord, and we'd use it, Lord, as we grow in our relationship with you, Lord. I need your help. I ask you to bring us to the altar and help us to pray in a timely fashion, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. I remember when I first went to Bible school, there was a television show came to Joplin. And the reason they came, the name of the show was Extreme Makeover Home Edition. And in that television show, I've never seen it. I don't really know I know what it's about because I got friends that worked on it, but I've never watched it. I'd rather go do the makeover myself than watch somebody else do it, you know. Anyway, they came to Joplin. There were several homes that they were doing. And the point of the show is that they come in, and in a week's time, they take a house that's dilapidated and make it nice again. That's the whole point. Several of the folks that I knew, several contractors, Brother Goodwin, I believe, in using the Osho there. Some of the people from your church worked for them. But several contractors, I know they worked. They didn't get paid. They just got really good advertisement, and they got some cool Extreme Makeover Home Edition t-shirts that they got to wear and different things. And that's what I'm going to preach on today. I'm going to change it a little bit, though. I'm going to preach on Extreme Makeover Teen Edition. Extreme Makeover Teen Edition. And I'll get to that in a minute, and you'll see how I'm going to get there. Now, this passage of Scripture is a very common Scripture, and we've heard it quoted a bunch of times. Matter of fact, when I was going to Christian school, I think this was the first passage that we memorized. And, it stuck in my mind. It's been helpful to me, and the Lord's brought it back to my thinking and my prayer time a lot of times, but it's very important to you this morning. And I'm going to point some things out to you from it. First thing I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture is that there is a goal to press towards. A goal to press towards. Look at the end of verse 2. It says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in this, it's pointing out that the will of God, there's three adjectives that describe it, but it's still the will of God. I don't know about you, but when I was, I still don't know what all the will of the Lord is, and I want to know, but I remember when I was in Bible school, that was of the utmost importance. We'd go over there to the prayer room, and we'd waller around the floor, Lord, what is your will? And we was expecting, we was kind of expecting the Lord to tell us, they're trying to paint it all out in a picture. And I've learned that's not the way the Lord shows us his will. I remember my dad told me when he was in Bible school back in 1978, there was a guy there by the name of Sam. And he was really wanting to know what the Lord wanted for his life. And one evening, he went down there to take a shower in the men's dorm there at OBI. And Randy Sheridan had got up in the ceiling and crawled in over the bathroom in the drop ceiling right over where he was. And he said, Sam, go to Africa. And he got done with his shower and went to chapel that day and got up and testified, hey, brother, so whoever was the dean, said, hey, the Lord spoke to me today. I know what the Lord's will is. I need to go to Africa. It was funny. And then he got up that night and told how the Lord had spoke to him in an audible voice that he needed to go to Africa. And he's in Missouri still today. But I want to know what the will of the Lord is, don't you? I want to do the will of God. You young folks, you want to do the will of God? I want to do the perfect will of God, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. You know that passage, there's one word that's very important there for you and for me. You know, it says, let me read it again. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, in this passage of Scripture, the word prove means to demonstrate. You know, that's the end of the Scripture, and all these other things is how you're going to demonstrate the will of God. You know, here a while back, I bought a new tool. I bought a sawzall, not a sawzall, I bought a portable bandsaw. You know, I was excited about it, and I was showing it to a guy. Hadn't used it yet. I just bought it, and it's still in the box. And he had never seen one. He's like, wow, I've never heard of something like that. A portable bandsaw. How does that thing work? So you know what I did? I cranked the welder on my truck. I pulled the bandsaw out of the box, and I plugged it in. I pulled a piece of pipe off the back of my truck, and I demonstrated how it worked. You know, and young people, you can prove what the will of God is. You can demonstrate the will of God. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to come to you in one big load. You're going to know every detail and every turn. You know, sometimes, Brother Sampson, we'd like the Lord to give us a book that's got every turn and every date. You know, but that's not the way it is. You know, but there's a process that God has for us that we can demonstrate what the will of God is. And young people, I'll tell you right now, there's some things that I know is the will of God. Number one, if you're here and you're not a born-again Christian, it's the will of God that you give your heart and your life completely to Jesus Christ and you let Him be the Lord of your life. It's the will of God that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence in speaking in other tongues. It's the will of God that you know what it is to be filled with the Spirit. You need power from on high. It's the will of God for you to live an overcoming Christian life. It's the will of God for you to live good among your family. Obey your parents. It's the will of God for you to carry yourself in a way that would be pleasing to the God of the universe. It's the will of God for you to have a prayer life. It's the will of God for you to read your Bible. It's the will of God for you to be faithful to the house of God. Every time the door is open, if there's a meeting at the church house, you need to make it of the utmost importance. You make basketball more important than going to church and reading your Bible. You're not going to prove what the will of God is. You got to make God number one. You can prove, you can demonstrate the will of God. You know, then let's look at some more things. You know, we see that there is a renovation to make. Now, verse 2, first part of the passage says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The word renewing in this passage means to renovate. Now, I've got a friend, he makes his living by flipping houses. You know, here a while back there in Stroud, where he's from, Stroud, Oklahoma, he bought an old house. It was an old dump. Paid $20,000 for this piece of ground, this house. It was on in the garage. You know, he took that old house. You know, he went in there. He put a new roof on it the first thing. Then he went in, beat the sheetrock out of it, took the siding off of it. You know, and I saw it here the other day when he's getting ready to sell it. And he sold it for $120,000. You know, what he did is he made a renovation in that house. He took something that did not look like much and did not seem like it had a lot of value. But by the process of renovation, by the renewing of that home, he made something that was valuable to him and valuable to the purchaser. And that's what God is wanting to do in your life. He's wanting to take you the way you are and change you and mold you and make you into what he needs you to be. Hallelujah. There's a process. Oh, there's a renovation to make. You've got to be renovated. That's why I'm preaching on Extreme Makeover, Teen Edition. You know, in this passage, there's two things, two requirements. You know, that you have got to take place before this renovation is going to take place. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You know that first statement, be not conformed. The word conformed means union or by association. So that really what it means is to change by association. And young people, you're in a world today that would like to press you into their mold. The world that you're in would like to give you their thought process. He would like to give you their ideals. They want you to believe about marriage the way the world believes about marriage. They want you to believe about God the way the world believes about God. Oh, we got a world today that's trying to press you into something that is not pleasing to the Lord. And if you're too associated with it, if you're too affiliated and connected to it, you're going to be conformed to the image of this world. He says, and be not conformed to this world. You know, so the thing to do for us to do is we got to make an evaluation. How connected am I to the things of this world? Am I more connected to this than I am to God? Am I more connected to my cell phone or to my hobbies or the things I like to do? Because if you're more connected to them than anything else, you're going to be pressed into that mold. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, the word transformed, conform, you know, that's, you know, be not conformed to the world. That's what we don't want to do. We don't want to be fashioned after the world's pattern. You know, then it says be transformed. The word transform here, the Greek word is metamorpho. You know, that's the same word that we get our term metamorphosis from. How many of you have been in science class when they got to describing what a metamorphosis is? Anybody know what that is? Anybody know what metamorphosis is? You know, a metamorphosis is where that old caterpillar, that striped caterpillar, crawls out there on that limb, and he hangs on there, and he builds a cocoon around himself, and then however many days later, it comes out a monarch butterfly. That's a metamorphosis. There's a transformation that takes place. How many of you boys like used to like, you're too old for this now, you know, how many of you used to like to go and catch tadpoles and carry them around and scare your sister or scare the girls at youth camp? You know that tadpole? It starts out of that egg, and then it's that little tadpole with that little tail swimming around there in that mud hole. But over the course of time, a metamorphosis takes place. You know, that body starts to grow. That tail starts to shrink. And before long, it goes to hopping out of the mud hole. It ain't a tadpole no more, brother. It's something different. It's a bullfrog. Oh, as a young people, that's what God is wanting to do with you. Here's how you are. But God wants you to prove the will of God. He wants you, I don't know exactly what God has for your life. I don't know how many missionaries there are. I don't know how many preachers there are. I don't know how many of those things there are. You know, but I believe there could be some good godly husbands among you young men. There could be some good godly wives among you young ladies. You know, but ultimately you can be somebody that pleases the Lord. You know, just like the word conform has to do with the association, you're formed by who you're connected to. You know, transform's the same way. You're changed by who you're connected to. Oh, just like if you're too connected to the world, you got it going downhill. But if you get connected to the right source, you go to going uphill. Oh, glory. Young people, that's why it's important for you to have a relationship with the Lord. That's why it's important for you to know Him, to read your Bible, and have a prayer life. It's because connection to Him, being associated with the Lord, is what's going to be what changes you. You know, my wife, my wife is the pretty lady right over here holding the two boys. The one turning red right now, that's her. She is. She's the prettiest lady ever. You know, well, I'm real glad to have her too. I was an old dude when I got married, you know, but you know, being an old dude, brother, I kind of got set in my ways. You know, I was a bachelor. I washed my clothes a certain way. You know, I cleaned house a certain way twice a year. I'd learned if you don't mess it up, you don't have to clean it up. You know, that's good advice for you boys in that bedroom. Don't mess it up. You don't have to clean it up. makes your Saturdays a whole lot better. I had my own place. I'd lived on my own close to 10 years almost, you know. You know, so there's a certain way of doing things, you know, with me. You know, and there's, you know, I liked a certain kind of toothpaste. You know, I liked, I liked the butter in the tub out of the refrigerator to put on the hot biscuit. You know, and I liked, there's a lot of things I liked like that. You know, I like to wear my boots in the house, you know, and I still do that when I won on this one. Okay, can I say that? Okay. But after I got married, you know, that tub of cold butter, I liked it. I liked to put on, they had this fancy dish that sat over by the microwave, and she put the bar in there, the stick of butter. It's kind of warm, you know, and it smeared better. Well, that wasn't the way I did it. You know, and so for about 6 months, we had a tub in the fridge. And, she was old, too, and set in her way, so it took us a while. but about 6 months, we had the tub of cold butter in the refrigerator, and we had the stick of butter there by the microwave in the fancy dish. You know, and come supper time, I'd get the cold butter out, and I'd defiantly smear that on my biscuit. You know, and she'd get her stick of warm butter smeared on hers. You know, but I was thinking last week, I was fixing my roll there at supper time, and I noticed what I was doing. I was smearing that stick of butter on my roll. You know, I like that, you know. Remember when they came out with that toothpaste that was like a liquid, you know, coming in the little stand-up deal? Why, it was the best way to go, man. This thing takes up less space. I don't have to squeeze it. Looks the same. That's awesome, you know. For about 6 months, I used the old stand-up liquid toothpaste. You know, this morning, you know what I did? I had a tube of AIM. Been some transformation take place in me. I still wear my boots in the house, though. I stomp them off, though. I sweep up my mess most now. I don't know how much of the time. It's probably a fraction. You know, but I'm a different dude today than I was 5 years ago. What'd I say? Anyway. You know, it's because of my association with her. You know, I like her. You know, walking around Walmart, you know, I was walking around pushing her buggy. You know, the prettiest lady in there, you know. You know, of course, you know, I go to town and people see her sitting up in that front seat while I'm driving. Everybody's looking, you know, that guy must be rich to get a woman like that, you know. Because see, man, that old boy, he looks too rough to get a lady that pretty, you know. You know, there's some things that have changed in me because of the association I have with her. You know, there's things that probably, you know, people would have thought I'd never changed on. But I've changed on them. You know, because I loved who I was associated with. And young people, that's the way it's going to be for your transformation. You know, you're not going to just wake up one day and things you're struggling with, you're going to get over them like that. You know, it's not going to be that, you know, even though you want to, you know, you're going to get over the problems and the things that you don't like about yourself just like that. Sanctification is a process that you got to go through. Transformation is a process that you got to go through. You know, and by your willingness to stay associated with the Lord, your willingness to go back to Him in prayer on a daily basis, your willingness to read His Word, read that thing through. You know, young people, if you haven't read the Bible through, you need to make it a point this year to read your Bible. You need to get to know the way. How are you going to know the way the Lord is? If you ain't read the book that tells all about Him, you're not going to be changed. You're not going to be transformed until you are willing to be associated with Him, number one. done. I thought about walking around the room and asking, you know, different scriptures, if you could quote that scripture to me, then walk to somebody else and ask you if you could rattle off a ball statistic, some of you men, young men. But I'll not do that. But why don't you ask yourself, how much do I know about ball or my hobby versus how much I know about the Bible? I tell you, young people, you know more about this whole world. You're going to be fashioned in its image. Until you're willing to make him number one, you're not going to prove, you're not going to demonstrate the will of God. You know, we live in a world that needs somebody to show them what the will of God is. We live in a world that people need to know how to be born again and how a good godly Christian lives. And it's up to you to prove it to them. But you're going to have to get down to business here today and from this day forward and let God do the work in your heart. You know, the process is, it's a process of change. You know, and the process will not all take place today. You know, sometimes us guys, us preachers that preach to young people at youth camps and youth meetings, you know, we try to act like this altar call is going to be the change that lasts all your life. You know, and it, you know, it's a starting point. You know, but the change that's going to last all your life is going back to the Lord every day. Oh, is you getting to where that you hunger to pray? Is where you want to read the Bible? Is where he's more important than anything else? You know, and it's going to be a challenge. Sometimes your flesh will want to know more about what the world's doing and what's going on out there than what the Bible says, but you're going to have to put him aside and go do it God's way. You know, number, you ain't never going to prove the will of God until you let him transform your life. We're going to have an altar call here in a little bit. You know, this is a place where you can meet with God. He can come to you and he can change and mold and work. You know, but the real change is not going to take place. You know, and it might take 6 or 7 months. But if you keep coming back to him every day, he'll make the change in your life. Glory. There's a renovation to make. But the renovation that we make has everything to do with the presentation that we yield. Verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, a reasonable service means the least you can do. It's the least I can do to give everything I've got to him. You know, and really, whoever's helping me doing the music, if you'd come back, I'm about to quit. The transformation is going to hinge upon the presentation that you're willing to yield to the Lord today. You know, this is, said, I beseech you, I'm begging you that you offer yourself to the Lord, a living sacrifice. You know, the story about Isaac and Abraham, when they went up on the mountain, God had spoken to Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. You know, in that story, Abraham was probably 120 years old, and Isaac was probably around 20 or older. You know, and he said, Dad, you know, here's the fire and here's the wood. Where's the sacrifice? Yeah, the Lord's going to provide. You know, and that boy was a sacrifice. Can you imagine that? You know, in that story, that 20-year-old boy, approximately, however old he was, it came time for him to go on the altar. You know, I really don't, you know, the Bible doesn't necessarily say, but the implication is that boy went ahead and got up there. That boy was, he was the one that controlled his movement, controlled his actions. He was willing to lay himself up there on that altar. He was willing to make himself. Young people, that's what it's going to be for you. You know, the least you can do because of what Jesus done for your life, done to save your souls, give everything you've got to him. Why don't we stand? You know, your youth pastor, you know, Brother Lucas, he's a big old guy. You Breach Creek young people, you know, but Brother Lucas can't tie you up and put you on an altar in a way that the Lord will change you. You know, some of you pastors, Brother Byerly's a stout feller. You know, he's not going to be able to make you change. These good men, they can preach good sermons, lead good services, and be good pastors and youth pastors. But they're not going to be the one. They're not going to be the one that's the hinging point for the makeover. The one that's going to be the hinge point for the makeover is you. Oh, Brother Alex, you preached about surrender last night. Oh, young people, if you don't get surrender right, you're not going to get anything else right. You don't get saved until you're willing to surrender. You don't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost until you surrender. You don't find out what God's plan is for you specifically until you're willing to surrender. Young people, what I'm asking you to do today is I'm asking you to willingly to come and say, Lord, I present myself. Oh, here, I'm good at this. Here's my talents. Here's my abilities. You know, like me, I don't feel like I got a lot of those. You know, Lord's managed to use me, even though I don't feel like I got a lot of talent. You know, but whether you have talent or you don't have talent, God can make a change, and He can use you for the glory of His kingdom. You know, I don't know exactly how it's going to be. You know, you may be a pillar of a church someday, a deacon, you know, may not get a lot of acclaim, but when it gets down to the end, you're going to get a lot of praise from the Lord with a well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, if you'll be willing to say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what you have for me. I'm not trying to pick your will. I'm not trying to plan it out, but I'm willing to give what I got to you. How many of you want Him to make a change in your life? Anybody? Now, if you want to present yourself to Him, I want you to just come find a place to pray. And just talk to Him real plain. I don't want no down on one knee. Get right back up. I want you to get up here and I want you to talk to Him. However you feel comfortable. Say, Lord, here I am. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm willing to yield myself to You. I present myself to You. I'm willing to let You have control of my life. Young people, you'll see God work in your life if you'll make this an everyday thing. Come on now, let's talk to Him. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God.